We have an army of digital soldiers. What we are now, what we call, I call them, because this was an insurgency, folks. This was run like an insurgency. This was irregular warfare at its finest in politics. And that story will continue to be told here. But we have what we call citizen journalists.
Today's ceremony, however, has very special meaning. Because today, we are not merely transferring power from one administration to another, or from one party to another, but we are transferring power from Washington, D.C., and giving it back to you, the people. For too long, a small group in our nation's capital has reaped the rewards of government while the people have borne the cost.
And so the American people decided to take over the idea of information. They took over the idea of information, and they did it through social media.
Welcome to Open Source News. I am your brother and citizen journalist here on social media, BCP, bringing you the news and analysis that you want, because this is how news happens today, not from the mainstream media. Appreciate you being here. Got a lot of stuff to cover tonight. This is a video I've been looking forward to bringing to you folks for quite a while now, but with Radcliffe about to become DNI, with Mark Meadows about to be the chief of staff, or now I guess officially the chief of staff of President Trump, a lot of key players are in place, and checkmate is closer to happening between President Trump, the good guys, and the deep state. I'm going to show you tonight how there was a coordinated effort since May 2016 by an executive order by Barry himself to outline, and he did outline, how they were going to sabotage the Trump administration. This will explain Russian collusion. This will explain the 25th Amendment attempt to get President Trump ousted by being mentally incapable. And this is going to explain why there's all these Barry holdovers working for the 44th president, not the 45th president, why the intelligence community has been against President Trump and who they've been working for. This is all in writing. This is, you are going to see documentation, not just from the executive order that set the stuff in motion, but also internal emails. And check this out, an actual booklet, an actual manual that in all of their hubris, Barry had written to explain this plan. It's all gonna come together for you. Please stick to the very end, because I'm gonna show you what happened when Barry was president and what's gonna happen when Ratcliffe comes in officially as the DNI to clean house and assist John Durham and AG Bill Barr in eradicating these treasonous, traitorous, bad actors that are still working for Barry, not our current president of the United States, our duly elected commander-in-chief, Donald John Trump. This is going to be one heck of an episode. Strap in. Let's hit the introduction and get started right with, in the beginning, the latest news about Trump's team.
Thanks for joining us on the Black Conservative Patriot channel. Don't forget to like, share, subscribe, and turn on the notifications bell so you don't miss a thing.
President Trump announced his next White House chief of staff Friday.
Right now, President Trump just announcing Congressman Mark Meadows will become his new chief of staff.
The Republican has been a staunch ally of the Trump administration. This is the first time since 2018 the position will be filled permanently.
The president out tweeting, quote, "I am pleased to announce that Congressman Mark Meadows will become White House Chief of Staff. I have long known and worked with Mark, and the relationship is a very good one. I want to thank Acting Chief Mick Mulvaney for having served the administration so well. He will become the United States Special Envoy for Northern Ireland. Thank you! Exclamation point.
This is sort of a brand new era for the Trump presidency. He has impeachment totally behind him. He is now laser focused on his reelection in 2020. So it makes sense that he wants somebody new to lead the charge, not to mention that he's had a tumultuous relationship with Mulvaney as a result of developments in the impeachment proceedings. So this is not shocking, I should say. But There has been lots of speculation for several months that this could happen, that Meadows could be tapped for the job. And that's because he is one of the president's staunchest defenders and one of his most loudest defenders on Capitol Hill.
Now, if you're like me, one of the first things you thought was, man, what a loss for Congress to not have Mark Meadows in the House of Representatives any longer. Then I recalled that Mark Meadows wasn't running for re-election in November. It had been rumored that he may find a place in the Trump administration. So perhaps this was in the works all along, that he would come be chief of staff or some other position within the Trump administration. And that's why he's not running for re-election in November of this year. It would have been this year that he would have to run again for his congressional seat. Also, I've talked in the past, if you caught my video that I did on my second channel. If you're not familiar, I do have a second channel. You can go to the link in the description below to subscribe to that channel. But I made a short video about my short list of people who have my eye on for possible presidential candidate in 2024. Mark Meadows is on my list of people to look out for. And this seems like it could be in his favor. If he's working the Trump administration and fighting for Trump, this could be a good thing, and perhaps he can even be groomed over the next 5 years for a possible presidential bid in 2024. I know it's too early, but I'm already looking way past President Trump when we take our country back so that we can keep it and keep the progress that's been made under President Trump.
And they really have a strong bond that they are actually public about. I mean, they speak about each other frequently. The president often praises Meadows. And I think you hit something really on the nail here when you mentioned that there is no acting in front of Meadows' title. And, you know, something that Mulvaney was never able to achieve was to become the permanent chief of staff. And even though the president says that has nothing to do with his confidence in Mulvaney, it is really telling, because if that were the case, why isn't there an acting disclaimer in front of his new chief of staff, Mark Meadows?
If there's any more information about Mark Meadows as chief of staff that comes out early next week, make sure you tune into this channel because I will keep you updated. Now I want to get into something that I've been wanting to present to you guys for a while. And what really spurred me to do this was this great piece done by Millennial Millie. And she presented some information in a great way. So I'm going to use some clips from that great report as part of my overall narrative that I want to explain here. And let me give you a 50-foot, 500-foot, 5,000-foot view of what's going on, and then show you all the supporting information so you can see the big picture for yourself. President Trump is now entering the last phase of draining the swamp. The big things that we have to look forward to is that we are going to get a new director of national intelligence, a very key person that's going to be John Ratcliffe, and that we have in the background, we've got AG Bill Barr doing his work, but more importantly, we've got John Durham doing his investigation. We know that there's lots of things going on. Like you, I am impatient. I want to see justice, but they are building a solid case, which is taking time. But this is what I want to discuss with you folks. It was never in the deep state's plan that President Trump would become president of the United States. But during the last days of the Barry administration, they planned for it. There is an executive order that was signed by Barry, essentially giving power to the shadow government, to this second government, to this bureaucracy, to these Barry holdovers as part of an insurance policy to wreak havoc and get President Trump out of office. They first tried to do it with, you know, spying on him. That's why the second news that's very important is FISA. And FISA is about to, and the Patriot Act, or they need to be renewed by March 15th, and President Trump says that without any reform, he is not going to sign it. So technically, FISA and that whole part of it on the Patriot Act could go away in about a week's time. This would be phenomenal. I think it should be scrapped. My personal opinion on FISA is if we need FISA should be for foreign individuals. any citizen in the United States, any American, it should go through the process of having, you know, the due process of no illegal search and seizure, and they should have someone advocating and looking it over before they get any sort of permission to surveil, like they do before on a criminal thing, or where a judge has to pass off on wiretaps, etc. I think it should be the same thing. It shouldn't be a FISA giving a rubber stamp. There is some great congressmen and Republicans that have put forward a great reform. I'll show that, covering some of these aspects. But this is what's happening, folks, is there has been this deep state effort to stop Trump from getting in, of course, with the Russian collusion hoax. Then they moved on to the Mueller report. Then he moved on to impeachment. All of this has been made possible by these Barry holdovers. And this was planned while Barry was still in the Oval Office, and he signed an executive order to that end. And that's what I want to share with you, so you can kind of get a view of what's going on here. Before we get there, though, what we have to see is right now the key thing is that we get FISA reform and we get John Ratcliffe in there. And toward later in this video, when you see the whole picture, you'll realize why John Ratcliffe is so important to have an ally of President Trump in there to thwart the deep state intelligence community.
Ohio Republican Jim Jordan says the two most important priorities for conservatives on the Hill are now FISA reform and the confirmation of President Trump's choice for Director of National Intelligence, Texas Congressman John Ratcliffe.
Of course, the Democrats tried to redo FISA. They tried to take it up last week. They have problems. Where is it now?
We got a good bill that Republicans put together, but the Democrats don't seem to want to work with us.
These sneaky Democrats.
On legislation that would actually put in place what we call an amicus process, where you have a citizen advocate at the FISA court representing the interest of the citizen, the American citizen who's about to lose his or her rights and be surveilled. You need someone representing their interest to see if it's actually warranted. So we'll see, but it needs to happen.
Why don't the Democrats want FISA reform? Aren't the Democrats supposed to be the liberals and the left that wants civil liberties? And here we have an onerous government. We have this deep state that is overreaching and crushing our constitutional rights to privacy, to all the things that the left used to, or at least classic liberals, used to hold in high standard, which is civil liberties. Well, the reason why the Democrats do not want FISA reform is that because they realize that this was all part of the Barry administration plan to try to oust President Trump. There was many methods that they were trying to do it. If you recall, they were trying to get the electoral college votes not to work for him. There, before that, they were trying to, through their deep state Republicans, try to get a brokered convention. That didn't work. Then they went through the all the little different iterations of a Russian collusion. All of this is done by the Barry holdovers that are still in the government today. Many of them are Democrats, but most of them are unelected bureaucrats, and they have strong assistance by the Democrats that are elected to continue this sham. I'm now going to show you great coverage done by Millennial Millie, gotta give credit where credit is due, outlining this executive order signed by Barry and its very, very devious attempts at what could only be called by edict of a monarch president, Barry, an attempt to subvert the Constitution and to subvert the will of the people and crush his incoming replacement, Donald Trump.
The ultimate backstory about how the Trump administration was stifled in an attempt to prevent Donald Trump from fully becoming president of the United States. Let's take a look at the coup on paper as it was ordered May 6, 2016 by none other than former president of the United States, Then let's look at how this executive order has shaped current events leading up to the 2020 election.
Intelligence officials warned lawmakers that Russia is trying to intervene in the 2020 election to help President Trump get reelected.
The intelligence community is warning that Russia is once again planning to interfere in a U.S. election. The president is infuriated, but not by what Russia is doing. Instead, he is angry that intelligence officials shared that information with Democrats in Congress.
The reason why the Russian collusion narrative was the narrative of the left, of the deep state, and the Democrats from the very beginning is because this was a way to undermine President Trump and make it seem, with the help of the press, with the help of this impeachment scam that happened, with everything else, with the intelligence community saying, yes, Russia meddled in our election, and with Hillary and everyone saying that President Trump is a puppet of Russia, is this. If they could have convinced the masses that, one, President Trump is a Russian puppet, that they effectually changed the electorate, and therefore President Trump is an illegitimate president, then they would have to take emergency actions. We would be in an emergency because technically our country would have been infiltrated by a foreign power. Now you understand why this Russian narrative, it wasn't just to say that President Trump is illegitimate so that he would be weak. It would be to usher in the ability of a shadow government to take over and keep President Trump in the dark because he's not really working for us, but he's working for Russia. Remember, it dates back for a very long time. The deep state has put provisions in that if there is an emergency, then they can come out from the shadows and overtly run the government. And that is what they were going to do. That was the plan. And this executive order by Barry in May of 2016 was signed to that end. They wanted to handicap, they wanted to delegitimize, they wanted to neuter President Trump from the very beginning. And of course, that plan has backfired and continues to backfire right now. And they're trying their hardest as we go into the 2020 elections.
If a state of emergency can be invoked, the emergency protocols under the continuity of government go into effect, thereby short-circuiting constitutional government.
The light bulb should be going off because you'll realize that one of the plans they had was after they could not stop President Trump from taking the presidency was using people in the government that were in the different positions like Rod Rosenstein to work on the 25th Amendment. Remember, they were gonna try to say, all right, President Trump, this Russian collusion thing is one strategy. Another strategy would be to get these ingrained people in the government, these Barry holdovers, to say that President Trump is not legitimate, that he is not mentally sound, and therefore invoke the 25th Amendment. And then they would go into these emergency provisions where the shadow government could override President Trump and run everything. I hope this is all starting to make sense and that you're starting to connect the dots on why a Russian collusion and why they were really trying to go after that 25th Amendment.
I have an obligation as the president, and my administration has an obligation to the American people to put measures in place that should somebody be successful in an attack in Washington, D.C., there's an ongoing government.
After President Bush was elected, we were briefed by the Clinton administration on many national security issues during the transition. On an operational level, therefore, we decided immediately to continue to pursue the Clinton administration's covert action authorities.
I hope if you're on this channel, you realize that the Bush to Clinton to Bush to Barry regime was all the same. They did the same thing with their covert operations. The intelligence community is the henchmen. They are the henchmen. They are the enforcement arm of the deep state globalist and these non-elected bureaucrats that are in the government and the elected Democrats and rhinos that work for and with them. And what they were doing here, again, with this Russian collusion, that would have been, had they won the people over and had they won that strategy, they would have convinced the nation that we are under an emergency, that we have been infiltrated by the Russians, and therefore they must take over the government. Who is they? We know them as the cabal, as the shadow government, as the second government. There's lots of different names, but they're the ones that are covertly running things behind the shadows. And had Hillary been in office, they would have come out of the shadows and run it through her and would have been a lot more transparent than they have been in the past.
National security and double government. Now, I'm sure the first thing that occurs to anybody is, I don't even like the government we have. Why do I have to have a double government?
There are two mechanisms of control in the U.S. The Madisonian public institutions of the Congress, presidency, and the courts, which maintain the necessary public illusion that they are in charge and in control of policy, while a secretive Trumanite network of unelected, unaccountable national security bureaucrats actually make and set policy that the Madisonians appear to implement as their own.
And there you go, folks. That is why we say that John Brennan was Barry's handler. You see, it was one way, not the other. Barry was the puppet, and of course he was the leader of all those that followed the cabal, but he was the puppet for the people truly running the show. And that was done through the intel community. And that is why, and I'll get to later in this episode, why it's going to be awesome to have John Ratcliffe in there helping Bill Barr, John Durham, and President Trump drain the swamp and take out these shadow government intel committee people, including Michael Atkinson, the Inspector General of the intelligence community, who worked with the fake Whistler and Shifty Adam in this whole entire impeachment process, which we saw was a major fail.
National security policy remained almost unchanged from the Bush administration to the Obama administration. So many elements of that policy are virtually identical, from drone strikes, covert operations,
Guantanamo Bay,
Guantanamo, NSA surveillance.
That's a great point.
You go right down the list. It's an amazing continuity.
By maintaining a continuous series of emergencies or exemption clauses, one can potentially invoke a force majeure to keep from having to transfer power.
Force majeure clause is sometimes known as an act of God clause. So it's an event that occurred outside the control of the parties.
We take the continuity of government issue very seriously.
You never want a serious crisis to go to waste.
Never waste a good crisis.
And what I mean by that, it's an opportunity to do things that you think you could not do before.
May 6, 2016, President Obama wrote an executive order stipulating emergency procedures during the transfer of executive power, ordering who would assist and coordinate the transition of power for each of the key national security agencies. And voila, the Trump presidency is dead on arrival.
So by executive order, Barry made the transitional intelligence officers beholden to the deep state, to the shadow government, to the second government, and to their apparatus, and not to the incoming president. And you wonder how all 17 intelligence agencies all signed off on the big lie that the Russian collusion hoax was actually a reality. It was part of this plan.
Or so they planned.
Trump will not be president.
Donald Trump is not going to be president of the United States. Take it to the bank. Okay. I guarantee it.
All right.
Just look at this executive order. By the authority vested in me as president,
Lord and Savior Barack Obama,
to facilitate the presidential transition, including assisting and supporting the transition efforts of the transition teams of eligible candidates, there is established a White House Transition Coordinating Council, where the transition representative for each eligible candidate shall serve in an advisory capacity, including any other executive branch official the president,
Lord and Savior Barack Obama,
determines appropriate. See, Trump's people weren't qualified. Not that they were sabotaged or anything.
An employee at the FBI who altered a document that was used in the preparation for one of the FISA warrants, one of the warrants, surveillance warrants, and that person admitted to making that change.
The Department of Justice is withholding a lot of information, as is Mr. Clapper, Mr. Brennan, and all of the people who participated in the complete setup of General Michael Flynn.
So we couldn't transfer the national security apparatus to them.
Could it be that these FISA investigations could bring down the whole White House or previous White House? Of course, I'm talking about the Barry administration. Could this be why the Democrats trying to hide the crimes of the previous administration, still shilling for Barry and his people, don't want FISA to be looked at, to don't want FISA to be fixed? Is this why perhaps President Trump wants his own real guy as the DNI? I mean, let's look. We had Dan Coats covering and shilling for the deep state. Then we had interim McGuire. Nothing against McGuire, good guy, but not a Trump guy. But now we've got Ratcliffe, who has proven that he is a patriot and on the good guy's side, and he is got President Trump's back. It's going to be very, very interesting to see all of the animus and venom that the left is going to come out with in the next few weeks, days, months, as John Ratcliffe starts to get ready to face his Senate confirmation. But is there any wonder why there has been all of this going on in the background and in the foreground since President Trump, or President-elect Trump, has been readying himself to take the helm? Who was the first person they took out? Think about this. Lieutenant General Michael Flynn, a man who knew where all the bodies were buried. He knew what was going on because he was part of the last administration, or worked within that last administration. They were going to clean house quickly, and they had to take him completely off the chessboard.
When Flynn emerged and became a part of President-elect Trump's transition team as the National Security Advisor, the deep state was like,
"Oh, hell no!"
We interrupt our program at the request of the White House. This is the emergency broadcast system.
So Trump had to be stopped at any cost, and the coup truly began 19 minutes after inauguration.
The fake whistleblower's attorney, look at your screen, January 30th, 2017, hashtag coup has started. First of many steps, hashtag rebellion, hashtag impeachment will follow ultimately.
I'm really hoping that President Trump, perhaps Mark Meadows can get in his ear. I hope that Michael Flynn, Lieutenant General Michael Flynn, finds himself back into the Trump administration. That would be the ultimate in poetic justice. That would be such a slap in the face to the deep state. I will stand up on my office chair and cheer like I'm at a ball game if something like that happens. I'm hoping it's not an if, but a when.
He now has a cabinet with appointees, some of whom are very good. The fact that he has lots of adults around him in a room that know policy, and he has no policy background whatsoever, I would want him to engage and leverage and devolve power,
thereby creating perpetual emergencies that need investigations to maintain that the Trump administration is unable to discharge the duties of the executive branch. Therefore, the top secret and classified material that implicates the Obama administration in serious crimes, abuses of office, etc., can be kept in the dark.
U.S. spies are withholding sensitive information from the president. In your story, you report that the mistrust stems from the contact the president's team has had with the Russian government. Is that right?
That's right. And these contacts that have been under investigation now for some time and extend back to during the campaign. What I'm told is that there have been these instances where sources and methods have not been conveyed. It is, again, dredging up these bad feelings that were really prevalent during the transition and right after the inauguration.
In other words, Trump's administration is being kept from fully commencing so that his intelligence community can't find all the bodies from the previous administrations.
What I'm about to say is going to resonate with many of you because you've made these connections and you've been looking at all kinds of information. But it was never about these trumped up false charges of what Trump did. All of this is a ruse so that Trump doesn't expose what they did. It's not about made up crimes that Trump committed, but it's Trump looking at the actual crimes that Barry and his people committed. This is all a defensive and offensive move by the deep state to defend themselves from being exposed and caught, and an offensive move to blame all of these false things on President Trump. And where does the media play into all of this? Selling the false narrative that look over here at all the bad things Trump has done, his incompetence, his being in bed with Putin. That's why we can't share anything with him. That is why we 17 agencies, by mandate, by executive order from the previous president, we're withholding information from him, and we are agreeing with this sham narrative that Russia is to blame for everything. Why? The attempt, of course, was to get President Trump out of office, oust him as some sort of spy or Manchurian candidate for Vlad. Seriously, that is what they were hoping the American people would buy, but they forgot that there's a lot of us patriots, a lot of people with discernment, and also they got sloppy, their hubris got to them, and their story started to quickly fall apart. And what was going to happen happened because it was an eventuality. If there was no crime, then you're not going to be able to prove a crime happened. It was just a matter of time before they got caught. They were hoping maybe the 25th Amendment could kick in and they could oust President Trump and no one would be the wiser about this false Russian collusion hoax. But the 25th Amendment didn't work. And once again, all the other things they did didn't work. The Electoral College not backing him, every other ruse, every other plot failed and failed and failed. Is it possible, folks? Let me just throw it out there. I know the answer to this. But is it possible that there is a hand of providence in this and saving our republic?
Hence why draining the swamp is taking so long. The swamp wasn't going to let them just come in there and flush the toilet, were they? Which essentially is a bunch of handlers, spies, and whistleblowers in waiting for then-President-elect Trump's transition team. What a joke. No wonder Trump looks pissed. Obama just effed him over. Sucker!
Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, Mr. Trump. This is going to be a smooth transition.
Psych!
The production of this Millennial Millie segment is brilliant. Very funny, very modern. Of course, she's a millennium. And I think this resonates with all of us. Now, here's the crazy part. Going to show you how in this executive order, they pretty much wrote, President Barry wrote in there, permission for the deep state to leak and to coordinate with Michael Atkinson a whistleblower complaint to undermine President Trump. You think I'm kidding? Watch this.
If the White House Transition Coordinating Council, its members, or their designees find it necessary to seek advice from private individuals or outside organizations, such counsel should be sought in a manner that seeks individual advice. In other words, if you need to report or whistleblow something that you heard that alarmed you that the duties of the presidency are not being discharged properly, leak it to outside third parties.
All right, folks, this is where it all starts to come together. We're now going to see the Barry holdovers. Now, we know that there are a ton of people still in government that are Barry people. Trump and his people have known that. They figured that out very quickly. Why is it that they are still there? Well, they're still there for two reasons. One, it was by design. You're going to see that there's a memo that we're going to look at here that actually shows a plan that people that said they were going to quit and, you know, right before President-elect Trump became president, they were told to hold on a second and give an opportunity to go back in so they could still be under a Trump administration, but actually working for the agenda of Barry's administration. This is crazy. I'm going to show it to you. But just be aware of this. President Trump and his people and the military intelligence folks that are assisting him all knew this was going on, and they allowed it to go on. One of the best ways to catch a criminal is to let the criminal think they're not being watched and commit their crimes. That is why the FBI does sting operations. And I think what we're looking at right here is a huge Trump administration sting operation that hasn't yet come to fruition. That's why you're frustrated. That's why I'm frustrated that there's no arrests yet. But you've got to let the criminals, you know, roll out their plot and scheme so you can see the full thing, so they're guilty of it. So when you pounce, they have no way of getting out of it. But let's look at this memo showing that there was a plot to have these people from the Barry administration hold over and sabotage Trump's administration.
Look at this email, request to hold over. Quote, if you are willing to continue beyond inauguration, submit a new letter to President Obama replacing the effective date of January 20th, 2017 with at the pleasure of the president, as in President Obama. So this is literally what it means to be an Obama holdover. Trump didn't choose to surround himself with the swamp. The swamp was left behind by Obama via executive order. Talk about abuse of power.
There are some skeptics out there going, oh, wow, really? This letter? And they're starting to get convinced because, as I say here, documentation beats conversation. When you actually see it in writing, when you actually see the documents, you start to say, wow, this is not some wacky tinfoil conspiratorial thing. This is documented that there was a plan here for Barry's people to sabotage President Trump. But there's no way that there's more evidence than that. Just a memo here, an email there. Yeah, we've got this executive order, but perhaps we are misinterpreting this. Folks, no. After all that's been shown to us by this great segment by Millennium Millie, here's the best part. They wrote a freaking booklet. They totally documented their entire plan, essentially.
Wait, what's this little nugget? Presidential transition guide? No, you don't think they would be bold enough to include? What do you know? Emergency preparedness. It is critical that the eligible candidate be prepared to respond to any emergency situation that may occur during the transition period. The GSA Presidential Transition Support Team will provide the following support to assist with emergency preparedness planning. A draft outlining the continuity of operations service during an actual continuity of operations event. Well, since Mr. Kroger was the special assistant to the GSA 2016 Presidential Transition Support Team and is currently part of the administration, he might be the one Durham might want to ask about continuity of government operations during the transition, if they were ever invoked or still in effect.
Why would the Barry administration actually document this act of sedition? What would compel them to actually put this in a booklet form?
Why? Because they had to have the emergency procedures initiated so that the national security bureaucracy could run the government behind the Trump administration's back.
Now, some people will see this information that's being presented and think this is tinfoil stuff. BCP, there's no plot to do things behind President Trump's back. There's no concerted effort within the intelligence community to hide information from President Trump. Oh, really? Did you forget what happened just 3 weeks ago? I want to play Jim Jordan for you. He said on Friday something that should remind you of what happened, and you'll see that this is still going on.
I mean, think about what happened 3 weeks ago. The intelligence community comes to Capitol Hill, briefs Adam Schiff, didn't tell the president what they were going to brief Adam Schiff on. Adam Schiff leaks it, and turns out what they briefed Adam Schiff about wasn't accurate.
A reminder, that lie a few weeks ago was that little briefing in front of the Intel, the House Intel Committee, with our favorite shady character, Shifty Adam, saying the Russians are at it again for the 2020 elections and they favor Trump. And when they were questioned about it, and after that leak story came out, what did we find out from, of all places, CNN and I think it was Catherine Herridge and others, that there was no teeth to the story, that it was misinterpreted, that it wasn't about Russian collusion 3.0 and them trying to help Trump. There was no intelligence that backed that. It was another leak and lie coming out of Shifty Adam once again to push this narrative that President Trump is an illegitimate president, and therefore the intelligence community and the shadow government, the second government, the secret government needs to do what they need to do because President Trump is illegitimate. They were going for the same playbook again, but like every single other time they've tried it, it got thwarted. And that is why the deep state does not want a reform to FISA, because they want to continue to be able to spy and surveil on Trump, in addition to pushing this Russian collusion to set people up. They do not want to have any checks and balances against their devious plot. They're still holding out that they can do something, even though they've been thwarted time and time again.
So the idea that we're not gonna reform this after the history of this place, with the 17 lies they told the FISA court back in 2016, so they could go spy on the Trump campaign.
I wonder why that number 17, keeps coming up over and over again.
Two most important things we do right now are reform FISA and make sure John Ratcliffe gets confirmed as the next director of national intelligence.
John Ratcliffe, as the permanent and new director of national intelligence, DNI, is a major move in this chess game, because now there will be a Trump person, a patriot, that's there seeing everything in the intelligence community. The things that they don't want to see, the things they've been trying to hide from President Trump, and all the things they've been doing behind his back. And guess what? As a federal prosecutor, as a former U.S. attorney, him working with Bill Barr and John Durham, this is yet another person that can assist and have a vital part in actually not just draining the swamp, but making sure that there's criminal charges, arrests, perp walks, and indictments against these people. He's not going to be the one to do it because he's not the Attorney General. He's not in the DOJ, but he knows intelligence and he knows the law and will be very vital in helping those at the Department of Justice bring justice to these people. And the timing for this is finally ripe.
Why John Ratcliffe? Why now? And why the second bite of the apple, so to speak?
John Ratcliffe's the kind of guy we need with his background as a U.S. attorney and work here in Congress. But remember, a few years ago, John Ratcliffe was one of the people saying what took place at the FISA court was wrong. And Adam Schiff and Jim Comey were saying, no, everything was just fine. Well, it turns out we were right, they were wrong, because Mr. Horowitz did his report and came back and told us, oh, they lied to the court 17 times, the FBI did. So John Ratcliffe was right when everyone else was criticizing. We need that kind of individual leading the intelligence community.
There you have it, my fellow patriots. I hope you see the full picture. They never thought she would lose, but once they realized that she might, and once they realized that she did, they have had a plan since May of 2016, an insurance policy of having Barry holdovers by executive writ, by an executive order, stay in place to undermine the incoming president. So that as they push this false Russian narrative, as they try to push this 25th Amendment so that President Trump could be deemed not mentally capable of doing his job, the shadow second government in the intelligence community could continue business as usual and thwart the Trump administration. It didn't happen. Shifty Adam tried all kinds of lies. They tried impeachments. They had fake whistleblowers. They had their inside guy, Michael Atkinson, at the Inspector General of the Intelligence Community. They tried everything they can. But Trump has his own inside people, and they know what's going on. And President Trump has been one step ahead, moving the chess pieces into what's going to be here, a huge checkmate. And part of these movements getting close to checkmate is John Ratcliffe as DNI, a Trump guy that's going to be able to look at what's going on in the entire intelligence community. And because he's a former U.S. attorney and he's got all of that legal and prosecutorial background, he can assist in bringing consequences, legal consequences, prison, and perhaps even harsher sentences for these treasonous, seditious rat bastards. That is the whole picture, and I hope it was painted for you clearly this evening. If you enjoyed this video, please give it a thumbs up. Also check out the original source material for a lot of this. It was from Millennial Millie. I don't know why I always, maybe it's a tongue twister, the alliteration gets to me. I mess up her name. I will put a link in the in a pinned comment down below for you to check out the entire video. I just used snippets of it here. That video is about half an hour long, and it touches on other subjects, and I think it is an appropriate video for every patriot to watch. Until tomorrow, God bless you, God bless America, and God bless our duly elected president, Donald John Trump. If you enjoyed this video, please give it a thumbs up. Join our Patriot family by becoming a subscriber. And if you want to support our work and our studio expansion, you can do that at bcpextras.com.
Thanks for joining us on the Black Conservative Patriot channel. Don't forget to like, share, subscribe, and turn on the notifications bell so you don't miss a thing.